In addition to getting a lot of work done, being on lockdown, I don't know about you, but I decided since we're kind of on lockdown, I wanted to stay a little bit, at least a little bit in tune with what's going on in the world around us. So I've tried to watch the news just a little bit more, a little more than I usually do. But you know what? It drives me bananas sometimes. And here's one thing about the news that drives me bananas. Every time there's a new story coming up, they flash this in on the screen. Breaking news. Do you realize that everything they say, they can talk about anything. Everything is breaking news. Everything is, this just in, the biggest thing you'll need to know today. You know, and it's a big story. Everything's breaking news. Everything's a big story. And I realize in the midst of the coronavirus, you know, there's some big things going on. But not everything can be breaking and the news. Because the problem with that is, it's kind of like the boy who cried wolf. You know, everything can't be huge or breaking or it loses its impact. It's kind of like when you text all caps and then put exclamation points on the end of every one of your sentences. If you always do that, people stop reading. They're just like, boy, they're angry all the time. Or they say, well, this is no big deal. So you lose your desired effect. After a while, it just loses something. In fact, with so many things vying for our attention, we may miss something that is truly important and that truly deserves our attention. And such is the case with what we celebrate today in the resurrection of Jesus. Being locked down, dealing with all of these overwhelming news cycles and breaking news every 2 seconds. You know, being homebound, facing the financial stress that all of this lockdown brings. Trying to make sure our kids are doing schoolwork, worrying about keeping safe. All of these things can make it easy to miss this celebration. And especially the true greatness of this event that happened nearly 2,000 years ago, yet impacts our lives today. So this morning, let's do this. Let's tune out the headline news. So if you have picture on picture, turn that off. Okay, let's tune out the headline news, the press conferences, Drudge Report, and all that kind of stuff, so that we can spotlight and grasp the significance of the resurrection of Jesus. Because that event is truly big. Actually, it's huge. In fact, I believe it's one of the most important events in the history of the world, and Christianity itself hinges on this event, the resurrection of Jesus. Did you know that? Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, "And if Christ had not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain." If Christ didn't rise from the dead, everything we preach about and everything we believe in is in vain. It's pointless. So with this in mind, let's go back to this resurrection just to kind of look at what was happening in this resurrection. 3 days before this Jesus, this God in the flesh, as Scripture tells us, 3 days before he was raised from the dead, or he rose from the dead, he was arrested. He was wrongfully convicted, he was beaten, and then he was crucified on a cross. You know, at that time, most of his followers, they scattered and they hid for fear that they would be next. But a few of them stayed around, and they made sure that his body was placed in a tomb before evening came in, because it was going to be the Sabbath and they needed to get him in a tomb. But they would come back later and formally bury him and do what they needed to do. And Mark's gospel picks up with what happens next in Mark chapter 16. Here's what it says. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and the mother of Jesus, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him or prepare his body for this formal burial. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. There was no way they could have done it. And yet the stone was rolled away. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified," or who was dead. "He is risen. He is not here." Isn't that awesome? I mean, imagine your day. You're coming in and you're mourning and you're all down and despondent and just like, man, everything we've just done for the last several years of following this Jesus, it's all gone. It's all done. And then in a moment, it's changed by this news. He's not here. He's risen. And what followed this was astonishment as these ladies went to tell the others of Jesus' followers what they saw. And then later, Jesus appears to them, and Jesus appears to his other followers. And he shows them his scars and said, "See, this is me. You know me by these scars. You saw me get these scars." And he encourages them and said, "See, what I told you was true." And then he calls them to tell others about him and about his resurrection. Before then, he would then return to heaven to be with his Father. So what is it about this resurrection that makes it so important, so significant an event? Why is the fact that Jesus lives so important some 2,000 years later for our lives today? And that's what I want to talk about today. Here's why the resurrection of Jesus is such a big deal and why we should stop everything to rejoice in it, to grasp it, to embrace it, and to celebrate it. Here's why the resurrection is such a big deal. You see, because Jesus lives, we have a Savior that we can cling to. We have a Savior that we can cling to. See, because Jesus rose from the dead, he had said he was going to rise from the dead. He had told all of his followers that. And what that proves then, it proves that what he says is true. So it proves that what he says is true about all things he talked about. And he talked about being our Savior. You see, because of our sin, we fall short of God. We fall short of God's standard of acceptance, of being in a relationship with him. And because of our sin, anything we do, even one sin, we deserve death. An eternal separation from God. In short, because of our sin, we need rescue. Jesus came into the world for this. He came to save. And he did this by living a perfect life. He lived a sinless life. Scripture says he was tempted in every way we've been tempted, and yet without sin. Jesus lived the life that God requires. So he lived for us, but then he died for us. He paid the penalty for our sin, for all sin. When he died on the cross, an innocent man, and he died a perfect man, a perfect sacrifice for us. And he paid the penalty for us, for our sin. Now, you know what? You might know somebody, and you might even say, "Hey, I'm a pretty good person." You're not perfect. None of us are perfect. But yet you might say, "Well, I'm a pretty good person." And you might even say, "You know what? I know somebody who might die for another person, somebody that they love, you know, lay their life down for their kid or something like that." But you know what makes Jesus truly unique is this. He wasn't just a good person. He was perfect. And he didn't just lay himself down for his kid. He laid himself down for all of us. Even when we were at our worst, even when we were in open rebellion against him, he loved us and laid himself down for us. But you know, what makes it incredibly unique is that after he paid the price, he sacrificed himself, his body didn't remain in the grave. You know, Jesus is not dead. He once was dead, but now he's alive. And you know, in doing that, he's showing that he is God. He is the only one who can pay the penalty for our sin completely. In fact, Jesus talked to some of his followers about that in John chapter 8. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Or Jesus says, if I set you free from it, you're really free. You see, because Jesus lives, because he rose from the dead, he proves that he is the only one who can save us. He alone can free us from the penalty of sin. He is the only one who can free us from the shame of sin, that we don't have to carry around our past with us. And always saying, yeah, well, God might love me now, but before he didn't, so I have to make up for that. No, God can take care of that, and he makes us brand new in him. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about this as well in 2 Corinthians. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is trusting in Jesus, he's a new creation, brand new life. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Jesus is the only way to salvation and new life, right here and now and eternally. And because he lives, we can cling to him rather than relying on our own ability to be good enough or strong enough or perfect enough to please God. That's big. Have you ever tried to be good enough to please God? Have you ever tried to say, you know what, I'm going to live a sinless day? I don't know if about you, but if you've ever tried that, it might last a half hour before you fail at something or we see the results of sin in our lives. We can't be good enough. We can never be. We can't go to church enough. We can't get baptized enough times. We can't do any of that enough times or do enough good to outweigh even one sin. We can't do it. And have you ever tried to be good enough and you get frustrated every time you fail? Or maybe you feel like you messed up too bad that God couldn't love you or that God couldn't save you. And you say, you know what, that might be great for other people, but you don't know me. God doesn't know me. He could never forgive this. Well, Jesus gives us an incredible promise with that as well. He said, no, this is why I came. In fact, John 3:17 says, for God didn't send the Son, Jesus, into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus came to save rather than condemn. When we place our trust in him, when we place our trust in his perfection, his sacrifice, and his resurrection on our behalf, we find salvation and we find freedom. In trusting him rather than ourselves, he frees us to enjoy the work that he has done for us rather than trying to earn it. So that we can find joy in any situation we face, even being locked down or even going through financial stress or something like that, we can rejoice because we have a Savior to cling to. And you know, this resurrection of Jesus, it gives us something else that's huge, that's a big deal. You see, not only do we have a Savior that we can cling to, but we have a victor that we can rest in. Do you know what I mean by a victor? Jesus is victorious. Jesus is victorious over sin when he died on the cross and then proves it by being victorious over death. And in defeating death, Jesus proves that he is bigger and more powerful than anything. Anything we can ever face even. Because he's bigger than death itself. You know, when you were a kid, did you ever play this game? I used to always play this game. You know, my dad's better than your dad. And you're on the playground with other kids and you're kind of telling them how great your dad is. You know, my dad's better than your dad. And in it we tell the greatness, you know, well, my dad can fix our cars. So our dad's better than your dad. Oh, yeah? Well, my dad can protect us from bad guys, so he's better than your dad. Oh, yeah? Well, my dad can take us on neat trips, or my dad is home to be able to go to my sporting event, so he's better than your dad. And for those of us that look up to our dads, or maybe any hero for that matter, when we're with them, we feel more secure and more safe because we say, well, I'm with them, and they're better. They're more powerful. They can protect me. Anything I can face it with them because I know they're bigger than whatever comes our way. So imagine this one. When we place our trust in Jesus, when we cling to him as our Savior, we can rest in the one who can do anything. In fact, he even defeated death. And guess what else? Not only is he bigger than anything, but he loves us more completely than we can ever imagine. He loves me. He loves you. And he always will. That's how powerful he is. In fact, this is what the Apostle Paul told some of the Christians in the churches in Rome about Jesus. In Romans chapter 8, we've just been talking about this in our series through Romans. It says, Christ is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Why? Because he's raised, because he's bigger than death itself. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, and all these things were more than conquerors, because we have a victor to rest in through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, Jesus, by rising from the dead, proves that he is more powerful than anything that can come to us. Nothing can separate us from Jesus. He is always with us, no matter what we may be facing. And even better than that, he's bigger than all of these things, because he's bigger than death itself. So, no matter what you're facing, he's bigger. You know, maybe right now you're going through sickness or financial struggles, or you're going through loneliness and discouragement, and you're just like, man, this stinks. I can't even get out. I can't even walk in the park. Or man, you know, everything is just coming on me, and I feel exposed and frightened. You know, we have a risen Savior, Jesus, who says, it's going to be all right. I've got this. And better than that, I've got you. Now, we may still face these things. We may still have to go through these things, but Jesus is with us in the midst of them. So no matter what you may be facing, Jesus is bigger. And as we go through these things, keep, you know that in them, Jesus is working. In the midst of whatever we may be facing, since Jesus is bigger than it, he's going to be working to accomplish his purposes. Maybe it's in going through a sickness, you go through it with faith so that someone else can come to new faith and new life in Jesus. Maybe it's as you're going through a situation, others can see your faith and be inspired to also place their faith or keep their faith in Jesus. Maybe it's so that we can point on him, point to him, and rely on him. And others can say, wow, where do they find this strength? I find it in Jesus. Whatever it may be, we need to know that Jesus is there with us, and he has the power, even over death. He can give us strength and confidence to endure whatever we may be going through. That's a big deal. You know, even though Jesus could have stopped all of his suffering when he was arrested and getting beaten, and when he was on the cross, he could have stopped all that, but he suffered and died because it was his will, and also because death was no match for him. And the same is true for us when our lives are dedicated to trusting Jesus alone. He's more powerful than anything we can possibly face. So that's our second big deal about the resurrection. We have one more that I want to talk to you about this morning. So not only do we have the Savior that we can cling to because Jesus lives, not only do we have a victor who's more powerful than anything that we can rest in, but finally, we learn because Jesus lives, we have a purpose to live out in our world. We have a purpose that we can live for and to our lives. You know how many people are walking around saying, I don't really know what the point is in living. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I just go from one thing to another thing. Well, because Jesus lives, we know that we have a purpose. You know, after his resurrection, Jesus spent time with his followers. It's really interesting. Jesus didn't just rise from the dead and go to heaven. He spent time with his followers. He spent time teaching and encouraging them. And he was calling them to say, be my witnesses. You know, go into all the world and make disciples. Just as I have made you a disciple. In other words, Jesus says, you know, as you see me do everything, follow my example. That's your purpose. In fact, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, right before that new creation passage that we looked at, he says, for the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died, Jesus, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. This means that we can live for Jesus and his eternal purposes right where we are. We're raised to new life in him, so we can live for him. Therefore, in the midst of our everyday lives, you know, we aren't confined to just make do. We aren't confined to just grind out our job every day and slog through it. You know, we're not just destined to muddle through school, you know, or just get through parenthood and just say, oh, this is so hard and it's drudgery, you know, and it's just too much for me to do and I just want to get through it all. Rather, in all of these things we get to, in the midst of it, present Jesus in a way, in the way that we live, in the way that we work, in the way that we study, in the way that we parent, and even in the way we hang out with our friends, we get to live the purpose that Jesus gives to us through his resurrection. And that is to bear witness of his goodness by the way we live and by the words we share with people. In fact, this is what Paul's getting at in Ephesians when he says, you know, by grace we're saved through faith. It's not a work of ourselves. It's not a result of works that no one can boast. And then he says in verse 10, he says, for we are his workmanship. We are his works of art. We are made with purpose. We're created in Christ Jesus. We're made alive together with him for good works. For the purpose of good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. God has made us alive for the purpose of his works so that we can follow that. Isn't that cool? We get to walk in the new, in a new life of purpose. And this new life of purpose that God has for us to make him known wherever we are. His gospel, his good news of salvation from sin, new life in Jesus. Think how this purpose can bring new life, new significance, change the way you go about work tomorrow. Maybe you're working from home and you're just on your computer and you're just like, oh, I just got to get this done. Think how now saying, in my work tomorrow, I get to share Jesus. I get to reflect him in the way that I live with joy and passion, knowing that I'm free in him. Or think when you're doing your schoolwork tomorrow. Or hanging out with your kids. Or just going through everything that's going on in our world that seeks to push us down. But yet we can go through it with joy. Saying, you know what? People may look at this and say, this is a horrible time. But look what I get to do. I get to spend time with God. And I get to worship with my kids. And I get to lift them up. And I get to work. And yet have time to be able to do this with my family. And to enjoy my God. And to talk to my neighbors. Even if it's over a fence, socially distanced and all that. I get to talk to them and reflect his goodness. We get to live lives of great purpose. Because Jesus lives. This is big news. You see, events are going to come and events are going to go. Even this pandemic will eventually fade from the headlines. It will. And while all these things and all these big events may affect us for the moment, they are really nothing compared with the reality of Jesus rising from the dead. This event not only rocked the world 2,000 years ago, but also changes the lives of everyone who places their trust in him for salvation, including us today. You see, the resurrection of Jesus, it matters. It matters for us. Because he lives, we have a Savior that rescues us completely and fully from sin and secures us life with God now and forever. Because Jesus lives, we have a victor, one for us, who is bigger than anything that we can possibly face, even death itself, so that we can rest in him. And you know, because Jesus lives, we have an amazing purpose we can live out that helps others find new life in him. And you know, this new life is only found in the one who lived, died, and rose for us. You can have this life. All of us can have this life. There's no hoops to jump through. There's no membership fee. There's no great works of service that you have to do. You know how we get this life? Is we cling to him. We trust him. We trust him alone. We don't trust ourselves for salvation. We don't trust ourselves for purpose in our life or for the ability to be perfect. We trust him. We trust his perfect life. We trust his sacrifice to be enough. And we trust his resurrection to give us a meaningful life here and now and a life with him for eternity. And you can do that this morning. It's really simple. All you do is you ask him and you say, Jesus, save me. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. I place my trust in you. And then God gives us the strength then to walk in him. And that's where we find this new life, in this big deal of Christ's resurrection. Now, if you want to explore this a little bit further, up on our Facebook page, you can go visit that right now. And there's a few questions that you can work out our message this morning and kind of take it a little further, think about it a little further. But it, you know what? If you place your trust in Jesus today, I want you to email me. I want you just to shoot me a quick email, pastormark@joynj.org, because I want to congratulate you and I want to help you get started in following Jesus in this new life. Let's pray.